This is a strange Sunday. Usually, the feast days of the church celebrate an event or a person. For example, we have days set apart for Jesus' birth, resurrection, and ascension. Last week, together, we celebrated Pentecost, the birthday of the church. On other days, we remember holy women or men throughout our history. For example, we celebrated the Feast of St. John in late December. But today, Trinity Sunday, is different. Today, we celebrate not an event or a person, but an idea. So as we join together in worship this morning, we might ask, why? Why did our ancestors in faith set aside a Sunday for an idea? And why this idea? Some of you might know that I once worked at a local homeless shelter. As part of my ministry there, every Wednesday, I would sit down in the lounge area with a pot of coffee, a reading from scripture, and a piece of art for conversation. We found that gathering a small community around art worked well because it was much less threatening to talk about art than about deeply held beliefs. At the same time, though, while discussing a piece of art, we often ended up discussing love, community, grace, redemption, and other articles of faith in ways that surprised us. One day, a regular member of our group pointed out that sacred art almost always depicts Jesus as deeply serious, sometimes even gloomy. So, for our next meeting, I made it my mission to find a painting of Jesus smiling. It was harder than I expected, but I found something. A contemporary painting of a smiling Jesus on the fishing docks. It was not a brilliant painting. In fact, you might call it cheesy or even kitschy. I felt a little self-conscious bringing it in, but when I did, members of the group immediately grinned when they saw it. One of them said, "Now this is the Jesus I would drop everything for and follow." Several days later, another guest approached me and thanked me for sharing the picture. She said, "Lately I've been having trouble praying because I always imagine God to be frowning at me or condemning me for all the mistakes I've made. But the other day, I remembered that picture and I imagined Jesus smiling and inviting me. And it felt like I was returning home." Her idea of who God was became a stumbling block for perceiving and trusting God's work in her life. By remembering the love and joy of God, she found it easier to recognize God's presence. So by focusing on an idea today, we recognize that our ideas about God matter. They're not just inconsequential speculations. They often have a direct impact on how we know and serve God. Our ideas about God can lead us to cooperate with God's grace by extending love to our neighbors. And on the other hand, they can lead us astray, helping us to justify acts of hatred or indifference that ignore God's true voice in our hearts. We can judge our ideas by whether they help us become better disciples. So we know that theological ideas are true when they guide us in becoming agents of God's truth. So today, we give ourselves the chance to step back and contemplate our shared ideas about God. But we didn't choose just any theological idea. We choose the most difficult, paradoxical, perplexing article of our faith, the Trinity, the understanding that God is both one reality and three persons at the same time. This idea invites us to think differently than we're accustomed to. It isn't an idea that's going to impress a cultured thinker or a seasoned philosopher. Like so many ideas of our faith, it speaks to a reality that we experience in the deepest corners of our hearts. But certainly, we must bring reason and critical thinking to our faith, but that's not where it starts. As Anselm of Canterbury once wrote, theological thinking, our ideas about God, our thinking about God, is faith seeking understanding. Thinking alone can't bring us faith, but it can help us understand our experiences of God better and cultivate a grace that's already there. Today's gospel reading shows us an example of how our ideas of faith might work. So often when we hear this gospel reading, we fixate on John 3:16 because it's a great verse, it's a wonderful summation of the fundamentals of our faith. But if we look earlier and pay attention to the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, we see something really interesting. Nicodemus meets with Jesus in the dark of night to try to clarify what he's been teaching. He's a well-educated religious leader, an MDiv of his day perhaps, and he's perplexed by Jesus' answers because they don't make sense just with reason or logic alone. Jesus tells him that he needs to be born from above. An experience of God needs to come first. Then Nicodemus wonders how rebirth is possible. Jesus responds that he's speaking of a different sort of spiritual birth, but Nicodemus still doesn't understand. So throughout this reading, we might read this as a lesson from Jesus about how to think about God and how to think about ideas about our faith. But it's difficult. Why are Jesus' teachings so cryptic to Nicodemus? Why are the articles of our faith sometimes so paradoxical? What good does such confusion do in a society that expects clarity and asks that truths be communicated in careful bullet points? I think the answer is that the most enduring ideas of our faith have more to do with our experience of God's grace and love than with what we expect or what our culture might expect. We can't verify them in the same way that we can verify scientific ideas. Rather, we arrive at them and confirm them based on the movement of God in our lives and based on how well they help us cooperate with this movement. Our understanding of the Trinity comes not from theory or precise calculations, but from God's communication to us and our experiences of God's grace. Now, the amazing thing about spiritual truths like this, so paradoxical, so difficult, is that they resist our attempts to reduce them to our own agendas. We naturally try to interpret our faith in ways that are beneficial to us. But for example, we're tempted, especially in our culture of individualism, to think that we can know God by ourselves. While reflecting upon this sermon, I did a little experiment. I did a Google search for images having to do with spirituality. I encourage you to do the same because it's very telling about how our culture feels about faith and spirituality. The vast majority of the images include just one person sitting alone in nature. I had a very difficult time finding any images in community. Now, don't get me wrong, moments of solitude and time in nature can play a very important role in our spiritual lives as we center, as we discern the voice of God within us. But we have a tendency in our culture to overemphasize those private experiences. The idea of the Trinity, though, God is one, but God also is three persons in love, teaches us that God, ultimate reality itself, is made up not of just one lonely person, but of three persons living in loving community. It is therefore in community where we most find God. At other times, we're tempted to try to grab hold of the idea of God. We want to use God to further our ideologies or meet our personal goals. We might reduce God to just nature, or just personal energy, or even just community by itself. But today's scriptures tell us that God is present in and beyond all of these things. Isaiah describes the Creator on a throne, ruling the universe and calling disciples to mission. Paul describes God being present inside of us, in our own prayer, through the working of the Holy Spirit. And John shows us Jesus, the Son of the Father, walking among us as a fellow human being and inviting us into relationship. So rather than expecting our faith to offer step-by-step instructions or easy answers, we can live into the sense of mystery and of mission. As Jesus tells Nicodemus, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. As Christians, we embrace an idea of God that is challenging because we have experienced God calling us and transforming us in distinct ways. God isn't just a principle or just an idea. God is a living reality who reaches out to us in different forms. Today gives us a chance to step back and think about whether the ideas about God we bring to our daily prayer or to our daily lives are helping us to be better disciples. Any idea we have about God must serve the living reality of God's love in the church and in our lives. We follow God not because we can definitively prove God's existence scientifically or fully understand how God works. We follow God because we continue to be transformed by our relationship with our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.